Ah, what a day. How many of y'all glad to be in the house of the Lord today? God going to do something good to you today. I want you to go with me to John chapter 8. All right, now once again, a lot of good news happening in the church. God is moving us forward. How many of y'all understand when God drops something great in your life, He also drops a great responsibility? Okay, so listen, we're not done. We've just begun of really allowing this church to be released. So first of all, I want to thank you for being a part of it. I want to thank you for getting to be a part of it. I'm glad to be here. I want you to know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, our prayer right now is you're going to deeply consider allowing Jesus Christ to enter into your life, forgiving you of your sin, connecting you to the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. That's what Hillview Heights Church is about. I've been asked several times. In fact, I've had some people, they got very adamant, and they said, I'll tell you what, Pastor, every time you preach, you talk about the cross and the resurrection. You talk about Jesus dying, you talk about Jesus rising again, and I need to go much deeper. And I said, no, you don't. You need to get saved. Because there is nothing deeper than the cross and the resurrection. Now, what you're being led astray by is a bunch of modern Gnostics who think that there's some kind of secret message that God has out there. And once you get to the secret code and break the secret spiritual formula, you will grow deeper. No, that's a lie out of hell. The cross is the deepest moment you can have. All of your sin is forgiven. Let me tell you the miracle. He is alive. Death could not keep his hold on Jesus. He has been released, and those who are joined in Christ shall live on. So we ought to vibrate with life in here. How many of y'all know Jesus got this habit? Whenever he gets around dead things, they live. Amen. If your eyes don't work, you know what he says? Go and see. So he takes eyes that don't work and makes them work. Is this making sense? If you're hobbling along and you're crippled up and you're laying on a mat, you know what Jesus said? Get up and what? Walk. Jesus brings dead things to life. How many of y'all have seen that happen in the scripture? All right, now we're going to preach today. How many of y'all know somebody's going to get saved today? You better watch out. It might be you. Okay? We've already all been to the altar. God's going to do something great. Now, first thing I want you to know, there's three things you'll always deal with. Three things you'll always deal with. Go with John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This is the message that Jesus wants you to hear. If you were at Lakeside Church Sunday, you heard an abbreviated this is the rest of the story of this message, okay? Three things you got to deal with all times. Three types of people. First of all, you got to deal with you. How many of y'all got to deal with you always? How many of y'all are with you 24/7? How many of you have found this? You can't get away from you. I mean, you move to a new town and guess who comes with you? You. You go get some new friends and guess who's still there? You know, you say, well, this one doesn't love me, so I'm going to get another one. But guess who's still there? Okay, y'all got the drift. You always got you. How many of y'all have those who accuse you? Any of y'all got those who accuse you? If you all don't have any accusers, please go try to do something in life, okay? If you're going to do something great, somebody's going to talk about you. How many of y'all understand that? You have accusers. A few years back, Elizabeth, this lady was talking to Elizabeth, and she was telling her how the pastor out at Hillview Heights Church was having an affair. And Elizabeth went, you know how a girlfriend get it on like that. Elizabeth looked at her and said, oh, really? And she goes, well, there's no way he can be having an affair. And she goes, well, how do you know he's not having an affair? She said, they hadn't taken Fox News and the NFL off TV yet. It's impossible for him to have an affair unless those two things happen. And then it was kind of funny when she looked and she goes, well, I know him. She goes, how do you know him? I sleep with him. I'm his wife. But see, you're going to have accusers. How many of you know if you listen to your accusers, you can never live up to what God wants you to be? It says the enemy, Satan himself, there's a literal devil, and he is an accuser of the brethren and the sisters. All right, he's an accuser of those who are connected to Christ. So the devil's always talking. And did I tell you this morning that Jesus is always bringing dead things to what? Life. But the devil's always what? I'm really going to have to preach hard today because the devil's always what? Accusing. And Jesus is always bringing things to what? Did I tell you the devil's always what? But Jesus is always what? Bringing things to life. Now I think we're on track now, Leonard. We can move on. I want to show you a scene, Hillview. This is where we got to be. We got to be a church where dead things come to life. We have been a church for the past 20 years where dead things come to life. People who are yet to believe can believe. People can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and live in the power of grace. Now, we spent a whole semester of church dealing with the book of Galatians, which puts in tension the law and the grace. The law of God and the grace of God. And now we're going to have an encounter in John chapter 8 of the law speaking to the grace. Grace has a name, Jesus. Grace is a person, Jesus. Grace is not a confessional statement, nor is it a theological proposition. Grace is the power of bringing dead things back to what? Life. How many of y'all glad the grace of God is moving in your life? Anybody glad to know you're a part of God's grace? It is personal. Now, did I tell you, you got three things. You got you. You got those that will accuse you. And then you got him, Jesus. What has he got to say? Now, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do today. Here's a sermon. Get over you. Quit listening to them so you can hear him. We say, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. I attend church regularly. A lot of folks I know that go to church all the time have their ears clogged because they listen to those instead of him. They listen to those that surround them instead of he who frees them. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have ever let anybody get in your head? How many of y'all told you you couldn't do this, you couldn't be that, you weren't worthy of that, and you believe them? How many of y'all believe them? Shame on you. You have denied what Jesus said about you. But boy, we do it, don't we? Survey says. Well, what happens when you say, to the hell with the survey? Literally, I'm not cussing there. You'll know when I cuss. Okay, that's literal. To the hell with the survey. Because most of the surveys come from hell. They're there to accuse you, not bring you to life. Now, Hillview, God's word today to this place is this place must be a place where things come to life. Where we live a full and abundant life. It's about life. I asked God, I said, God, what do I preach today? He said, preach the nugget. I said, the nugget? The nugget? He said, yeah, John chapter 8, that's what I'm about. John chapter 8, that's what I'm about. Hillview, you know what? It's exciting. God has called this particular congregation to make sure the world knows grace. Grace. So that's why Hillview does stuff like this. How many of y'all are here today going, man, I tell you what, I don't know if I can be in church or not. I've done some really bad things. Anybody here ever done some really bad things? If you've sinned against God, that's a really bad thing. How many really bad thing people do we have here today? Raise your hand if you're bad thing people. If you're double bad, put two of them up. I'm a two-handed. Watch this. The guy talking to you is a two-handed guy. Now, let me tell you why I preach the cross and the resurrection. Your pastor, Steve Ayers, knows the only way I can go to heaven is that Jesus Christ forgave me of my sin. When I stand before God, if he says, why should I let you in here? I got one thing to say. Jesus said he would. Because if God starts reading my rap sheet, it is long. In fact, mine is in titles and headlines, okay? Now, I know some of you are good people and you're going, well, Pastor Harris, I'm a lot better than you. That's not saying much. It doesn't take much to be a lot better than me. Because I had this problem. If there was a rule, I broke it. Sometimes I broke rules for the very reason that I could break the rule. I always questioned rule makers. I don't care if it's the teacher. I don't care if it's my parents. And let me tell you what, that makes for a hard life. Because guess what I learned? Sometimes the rules are put in place for the safety and the fulfillment of your life. But there's a difference in boundaries and laws. We have a problem in John chapter 8. Jesus has awakened early in the morning. He's gone to the temple courts as rabbi types do, and he's beginning to teach on the outer courts. The people have gathered to hear what he's got to say. And lo and behold, in walks the Pharisees. The teachers of the what? The heavy hitters. Those with the robes that flow, the bells that happen, these are religious people, like some of you who come skirting in and go, well, Pastor Ayers doesn't know, but I've been to so-and-so's seminar. Let me help you. I could care less what he or she said. I don't even care what I say, so where does that put where you say? You see, we got to quit quoting each other and start quoting the one who says it and brings things to life. Somebody, is somebody hearing what I'm trying to tell you today? Is somebody hearing what I'm trying to tell you today? Quit quoting somebody and start listening to what he's got to say. Because let me tell you what somebody else will say. Stoner. Mm-hmm. Here come these religious people. I mean, man, listen, y'all know I'm not high on religious people. I've never been big on religious people. You know why? They're mean. They're just mean. And besides that, they're boring. And besides that, you never want to have dinner with them because they ain't got anything to talk about except somebody else. You know why other people talk about other people's lives? Because they don't have one. And men, I've even heard some of you young men sound like you're wearing a skirt sitting around talking about other people, like you's a bunch of Girl Scouts selling brownie cookies. God bless you. Get some hair on your chest and grow up. You're a man. You should never whisper about your buddy. You're a man. If a man ticks you off, jack his jaw, hug him, and go have lunch. That's the way we sit. No, really, don't jack his jaw because you'll be arrested. I'm sorry, law enforcement people. Just do it where you don't get caught. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, look. It's time for us to grow up in the Lord. That's what I'm saying. Does that make sense? And to live life. Let me tell you what happens here. Jesus is teaching. Did I tell you he was teaching? John chapter 8. Look, he's at the temple courts teaching. Pastor Mark, here comes these Pharisees. Can't you see them? I saw a couple in your office one time. And they came in and said, Pastor Mark, you have not done the lunch right. You know what I did in my office? Dear God, I want to thank you that I don't have to deal with these people, and you've given this assignment to Pastor Mark. That's called encouraging a brother. No, I do tell him after he gets done, I said, Mark, I'm so glad that God called you to do with that. And he goes, well, why does that excite you? I said, because I never tell those people good things. And Pastor Mark's so compassionate, you know, God will move in him, and he'll settle everybody down. And because they're usually coming in with a major issue like, where are the tablecloths? I didn't even know we had tablecloths. And then after about it, I don't care if we have tablecloths. I just want to eat. I want to see Jesus do something great. And he'll do it in your life. Now listen. He's teaching, doing what he's supposed to do. In walks these religious leaders. And they got a woman caught in adultery. Now that ought to mess with you right there. I studied this piece of Scripture, this text of Scripture, this pericope of Scripture over and over again. Even chopped it out in the Greek one time because I wanted to find out, how do you catch somebody in the act of adultery? No, it doesn't say she committed adultery. Look at what the Scripture says here. Look at this. They brought this woman to Jesus. Now, look at the Scripture, of the detail of Scripture. They brought in a woman caught in adultery. They caught her. Now, you know what that means? We got a peeping Tom Pharisee hanging out somewhere. Because let me tell you what, you can't catch somebody in the act of adultery if you're watching ESPN. Now, you can if you're watching HBO, but not if you're watching ESPN. What I'm saying, if you're paying attention to what you're supposed to be doing in life, how do you catch somebody without peeking? I mean, we got some religious leader up there lifting up, you know, blinds trying to see what's going on in somebody else's house. You know, that's what religious people do. They want to see what's going on in your house. But let me tell you what our precious Jesus does. He wants to change your house to his glory. You know what? Because he already knows what's going on. He wants to show you how to bring it to life. You see the difference? Caught. called them. I mean, there ain't no credit. This woman can't stand up and, you know, she can't do like previous presidents and try to redefine sex. She'd been caught. How many of y'all have ever been caught? I mean, not at that, but caught at something. Come on, how many of y'all have ever been caught? Come on, how many of y'all have ever been caught? I mean, just red-handed caught. You put your hand in the cookie jar and mama showed up. Now we'll get Clacy 2 years old. I mean, we start lying at 2 years old. Clacy was a cookie monster when she's 2 years old. Mama said, do not get in the cookies before supper. Here comes Clacy. I mean, she done hit like 3 double stuffed Oreos. When you're 2 years old, you cannot hide the evidence of double stuff. It's all over her face. I look at Clacy. I said, Clacy, you had any cookies? No. I said, you've been caught. You got crumbs all over your head because Clacy, she used to eat and paint with food at the same time. I hope she doesn't do that anymore because I hate to see her go to prom and paint her prom dress, you know, with whatever they're eating. Now watch. She's been caught. I've been caught. You've been caught. This woman was caught. You know why they brought her to Jesus? So they could accuse Jesus. Let me help you with something. Religion does not think about people. Jesus does. Pastors that are in here. We got several pastors here today. God brought you here today for a reason. Our job is not to preach accusation. It is to preach life. And sometimes we preachers like to crawl up here and think we have judgment qualification. And all we are is a witness to the message. So we need to be careful. Here's what I've come to learn on. The church can't be any better than those who lead it. If your leaders aren't full of grace, then your church won't be full of grace. Yeah, don't point fingers. Hand out blessing. These boys wanted to point fingers at her, you. She had to deal with herself. Here's what they said. The law of Moses commands us to stone such a woman as this. You know why they said that? They live by the law. Scott, what happens? If you live by the law, you what? Die by it. Now, for all you that want to jump around and say every religion is correct, you know what the law of Moses says? The law of Moses says stone such a woman as this. What would America look like today if we stoned people to death that had committed adultery? Let me help you. The environmentalists would not have to worry about an overpopulation problem. How many actors and actresses would be gone in Hollywood if the penalty for adultery is death? How many of you in college would already not graduate? I mean, you in high school couldn't go to college because you're dead. It's hard to enroll into college dead. They stoned them. Now, this is real. See, here's what we don't understand. This sin was so serious in the law that if you were going to be such a betrayer of covenant that you would break your marriage vows, you deserve to die. That's what the law what? Says. Now, I just want to show you this way. Adultery still kills things. I guarantee if I came to Elizabeth and said, Elizabeth, I found me another, and I was unhappy, and I was not fulfilled, so I needed just a little loving on the side. Let me tell you where y'all would be. I would be right here. Let me show you. That's where I'm going to be. And y'all going to be walking by going, brother was stupid, man. He knew better than that. I know what y'all be saying. Why? Because adultery kills, because sin kills. But hold on. They wanted to kill her. Now, Jesus does something really cool. I mean, let me just headline up on you, because I got a lot of young people in here, okay? I want y'all to live a full and abundant life. Hey, we're on a mission. I'm older now, man. I got gray hair. Elizabeth's really getting old. She's got older children and stuff now. I'm helping her up the steps and stuff now. We've gained wisdom, all right? Here's the deal. I want you to hear me, young people. We're committed to this. Stay away from adultery. God doesn't like it. Now, here's what we want y'all to... I mean, we're praying this. I want y'all to get married. Somebody say, get married. When you can. I want you to put rings on your fingers. I want y'all to be committed to one another. I want you to have the hottest sex possible the rest of your life in the marriage covenant. Y'all should be saying amen to that. And y'all say... Now, some of y'all are going, I can't believe a pastor talked about hot sex. Well, you... Hey... If you're going to follow God, don't have cool sex. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, I like it. I tell God, you ought to finish and say, oh, dear God, thank you for creating that. You ought to be good at it. And if you're married, somebody say, if you're married, do it as much as possible. If you're not married, don't do it. And if you are married, only with your spouse. It's just so much less trouble. So much cheaper. Ah, have we covered this? Some of you are going, oh, I'm kind of embarrassed. Well, be real. It's time that you all hear some preachers preach it straight. It's killing people. This woman could have died. Now, some of y'all are going to tell me this. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm telling you now, I disagree with you. I don't think there's any difference between Christians and Muslims. Well, let me tell you one difference. If you're in a Muslim country and you commit adultery, they kill you. Even Oprah. If she committed adultery and she's a Muslim woman, they kill her. Well, Muslim countries, lop. They don't have any trouble killing you. You know why? Because they are under the law. And the law brings death. So there's a big difference in people who follow Jesus and people who follow the Quran. The Quran still says, stone such a woman as this. And the reason there's no grace in the Quran is because they deny the grace giver. Jesus is not a prophet. He's the Son of God. He's not just a good teacher of morality to help us all learn how to cope with our inner child. He happens to be the Son of God, seated at the right hand of God, the one who was crucified, the one who was resurrected, and the one who has never touched sin, nor the one who has ever experienced sin. He is Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, hope of the world, the great counselor. Oh, that changes everything. Now, I told you, you'll always have you and you'll always have somebody accusing you. They said, kill her. What are you going to do, Lord? What are you going to do? They wanted to trap Jesus. You can't trap Jesus. Why? He's the Son of God. Now, I don't know. Chase, maybe you'll find this. I've been looking for years. I want to know what he wrote on the ground. Now, no, when you get accused, don't be defensive. How many of you all are only defensive when it's true? Pastors, y'all need to toughen up a little bit. If you don't have people in the church talking about you, it's because you're not doing anything. You ought to offend people. This is an offensive message. It offends sinners. Yeah. We've turned the church into a bunch of Barneys. We should have never sung that song, Friends Are Friends Forever. It's not about that. It's about, do you know without Jesus, you're dead? And with Jesus, you're what? Alive. Well, these guys said, what are you going to do, Jesus? Jesus does something. He does something really incredibly cool here. He writes something on the ground. I don't know what he wrote on the ground. I've been looking for it for centuries. If any of y'all got a clue, let me know. And not literally centuries, decades. And so he writes it on the ground. And maybe it was the name of the girlfriends of the Pharisees. I don't know. It's something that powerful. Because his next line is crucial. Those of you who are without sin, throw the first stone. So how many of y'all can throw rocks? Church, let me help you. We need to be an empty tomb church and not a rock-throwing church. Throwing rocks doesn't get anybody better. Throwing rocks doesn't get anybody saved. And here's the problem with throwing rocks. None of us can throw one. There's a stipulation. He or any of you who's without sin, what? Throw the first stone. Jesus, throw all the rocks you want as long as you haven't sinned. Where's that put all of us? Same place. So I'd listen to him. At this word, the older ones walked off, followed by the younger ones, and no one was left except Jesus. You know why Jesus was left there? He was the only one there without sin. He's the only one that could have thrown a rock legitimately. And he chose to say this. Where are they? Where are they that condemn you? Where are those accusers? Let me ask you, where are they that condemn you? Where are they? You know, I just want to tell you, church, I'm proud of you because y'all don't condemn a whole lot. Well, some of you gossip a little bit, but you're even growing out of that. You know what happens, I found? Once you get a life, you don't have to talk about everybody else's. Isn't that cool? Y'all notice the people that are always talking about other people is because they never do anything. How many of y'all have noticed that to be true? How many of y'all are that old enough to notice that to be true? If you play athletics, those who tell you you're good, those are the ones you want to go after. It's the silent people that go, we'll see. Those are the ones that are really good players. I've noticed those who talk a lot do little, and those who live a lot have to talk little. Their testimony is in their life, not their mouth. It just happens because it's in there, because it's real, because God's life's vibrating through everything they do. Where are they? Jesus said to this woman, where are they that accuse you? And she said, sir, they're not here. They do not condemn me. You know what Jesus said? I love these words right here, Tony. You ready, T? Neither do I, says Jesus. How many of y'all want to listen to Jesus? You know what he says? Neither do I. Be not condemned. In fact, Jesus said these words, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that in me the world might be set what? Free. Then he says something like this, it's exactly, doesn't he, John Paul? When the Son sets you free, you're free what? Indeed. How many of y'all need to be free indeed? God has made you. He loves you. He does not condemn you. He wants to bring you to what? Life. Hillview, here's the number one thing we got to get rid of. I asked the Lord, why do people resist this great message? He said, shame. Sin shames us, and we want to step away from the Lord. This woman was full of what? Shame. And guess what God said? Neither do I. Come and live. Amen? So guys, I love you, but not as much as Jesus does. And right now, we're going to open this altar up. For those of you who are believing in Jesus Christ right now, I hope you're praying that every living, beautiful human being that God put in this place today is going to receive His glorious grace and walk out of here living. We don't have church so that you and I might be entertained. We have church so that the dead can what? Live. And I'm praying for this. I'm telling you, I'm praying that this church start living with such a vibration of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the campus up there, guys, y'all going to be at practice. And you can go, what's that? Well, that's the living reality of God shaking the field a little bit. You're going to be in the classroom and go, what's that? That's the breath of God moving in the next generation. Don't think I'm crazy, because I am. I believe God can raise the dead. I believe He has. I believe He is. And I believe He will. And you know what? Ain't nobody going to shake your pastor from the cross and resurrection. It's the only thing I found that works. All other ground, Garrett, old him. All other ground is sinking sand. On this solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I want you to live, amen. I want you to live full, I want you to live well, and I want you to go now and leave your life of sin in the name of Jesus, because He made it possible to live in the glory of God. There are going to be some people meet Jesus right now. Y'all okay with that? How many of y'all are praying that some people get saved right now? Get saved right now. No shame. I hear you thinking, I can hear it. It drives me crazy. Every altar call, I hear some of y'all thinking, going, well, Pastor Steve, don't know, man. I've committed adultery. You just watched Jesus save somebody who what? Yeah. Jesus loves sinners. Religious people don't,
But Jesus does. And He'll save you. So let God save you. If you need to be baptized, let's get that done. Amen. We saw a lot of baptism today. If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to take the first step of obedience. That's called baptism. Step into it. Be obedient to God's Word. You saw today an answer to a prayer, Chad, that nobody thought possible. God paid off His debt with His tithing. Now, some of you, I got a word for you because you dream big dreams. Let me give you some reality here. The evangelical church tithes 2%. Those are its tithers. That means we have 80% of God's resource unfaithfully being released. I bet the papers would read different if God's people would be faithful. All I know in a little bitty place called Bowling Green, Kentucky, we're not a big place, we're a little bitty place. There's a group of people that were faithful enough. And not everybody was faithful, but there was enough faithful to make things possible. See, that's what I want all you young people to understand. Y'all ever told your mom and dad this? I bet y'all have done this. How many of y'all have come in and said this before? Well, everybody's doing it. Come on, Megan, you've done that, haven't you? I did. You ever done that? Maybe you've done it. He's done this guy coming in and he goes, well, I tell you what, Dad, I can't believe you ain't letting me go, man. Everybody gets to go. I mean, Blake, he's a pastor's kid. He got to go. That's because his mama ain't got no sense. That's what happened there. See what I'm saying? No, that's it. No, you see what I'm saying? We all throw at jazz. Well, guess what? Here's what I want you to know. I don't want you to be everybody. I don't want you to be like those. I want you to be like Him. I want you to live in Him possibilities instead of those possibilities. And guess what Jesus says? Y'all will do great things. Warning. God did not pay this facility off for the next generation to be like the present one. Amen. I've gotten to see a few thousand be saved. You all may see millions get saved. You say, well, Pastor Steve, there's a possibility we won't have Social Security. Probably won't need it if you're going to live in that kind of blessing. Y'all follow God with that kind of faithfulness, you may be Social Security. You're going, you're crazy ears. Go read your Bible. Tell me what He did with King David. Tell me what He did with Joshua. Tell me what He did with Esther. Tell me what He did with Ruth. Tell me. Bobby, I believe those stories to be true. Now, I may be an intellectual, you know, nimwit, but I believe those stories to be what? True. They may not like me in Harvard, but I don't want to go to Harvard. I've been to Harvard. I don't like it. I like heaven. And heaven's better than Harvard. It's better than Princeton and Yale and the upper echelon. Heaven's better than a Marriott. And God wants you to go there. Amen. Thank you all for putting up with us today. May Jesus save you if you don't know Him right now. Some of y'all been holding under some rocks. Let them go. Let Jesus be in the rock throwing business. You get in the following business. Pastor Steve, you don't know. You don't understand. They said something about me. I understand about people saying things about you. You know what you do? Bless them. You're going to heaven. If I was going to hell, I'd talk about people too. But I'm not. I'm going to heaven. And they can't change that. Because Jesus said so. So live, amen? Jesus said so. So there'll always be you. And there'll always be those. And there will forever be Him who says, go now and leave your life of sin. Pray with me, Lord. Today, maybe hundreds, maybe 1,000, maybe it starts a revival. I don't know. I know this. Today, there are those who need to say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. You caught me today, Lord. I am sorry, Lord Jesus, and I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. If you're saying that right now, we just pray that the Holy Spirit confirm the grace of God in your life. That the grace of God will just be confirmed right now in your life. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of them. That means I'm sorry. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to believe in you, Jesus. Invite him into your life. Only God can do that. If you're a believer and you've been holding under some rocks, I hope that at this altar we hear plop, plop, boom, 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 boom. We hear rocks dropping and we feel the wind of the Holy Spirit empowering God's children to do great works. So drop the rocks. If you have not been baptized, you need to get that taken care of. You need to be obedient to that. If you've received Christ this week in one of the ministries or in another ministry and you know you need to be baptized, we've already had several people do that today. God's moving today. So move with him, okay? If you're hearing him, you got to respond. He's drawing you. You got to make the response. It's either yes, Lord, or no, Lord. He's already put you in. He's calling you forth. What will you do? Let's stand together. Let's worship him. Let's give him thanks. If you need prayers of healing, they're here at the altar. Lord, open this altar. Release this altar. Lord, this is your altar. I pray against the enemy. I pray against the devil himself that he cannot have any authority at this moment of time. God, you know what you need to do in the lives of your children. Let it be released and let it happen. So, Lord, we pray right now that people will come. People will be healed. People will be saved. People will be recreated. All right, church, I don't know why you're standing there. God wants to do a great work. You got to come. You got to let him have it. You got to listen to him and let God speak into your life. Come on right now in the name of Jesus. Come on and receive him. If he's drawing you, receive him. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Come on.